Global chaos, prophetic signs, and the battle lines are drawn. From Israel to Washington, the shaking has begun. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there, all the way from New York City. Mm-hmm. How things going in New York today, David?
Oh, it's fun. I think it's going to be a good race. All the for the mayor.
Oh yeah,
Yep. The little girls are fighting each other. Mom D and Cuomo and Eric Adams. None of them want to back out, which is a wonderful thing because that's going to split all the lefty votes into thirds, and there's only one conservative who's actually a pretty cool guy, Sliwa.
Yeah.
Yeah, not perfect, but
well, you know,
but he's been here.
He's
a guardian angel. Remember him?
Yeah. What was weird is I saw Charlie Kirk, I think it was, that came out and he said, "I hope he drops out." I don't know who he's favoring, but I thought that was kind of a weird.
Well,
statement
for what? There's no one else.
Yeah.
Run it.
Yeah.
It's basically the three libtards and Sliwa, and that's it.
Yeah, I didn't understand his reasoning on that. But, you know, again, I'm not a New Yorker, so I don't know. But the thing I do know is that they seem to be in a panic mode, and I'm talking about Democrats, basically, that, you know, oh, boy, this guy can drag us down into the gutter and below.
Below that. He has been.
Yeah.
So, well, the thing about him, Curtis, he's actually – really nice guy. I've met him a few times. But he's been here actually fighting for New York
for years.
And remember the Guardian Angels? He was only 24 years old, and he's like, this place is ridiculous. So he made his own Guardian Angels. And then was, oh, you can't do that, vigilantes. He says, I don't care.
he's got been there for years.
He felt safe when you got on the train and you saw one of them red berets. You know that they weren't going to let anything
Everything
go down.
Everything was cool. Yeah, yeah.
And then the city got cleaned up, so they broke it up a bit. But now he's back. But every day you see him somewhere in the neighborhood around here, and he's talking to the people. He's talking to the homeless guy.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's going on over here? What can I do to help you? And these other, you know, like Eric Adams, he always pulls him out. He's got $5,000 suits. He's hanging out in the nightclubs in the Hamptons with all the rich people.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's got 7 burner phones. Why does a mayor have 7 burner phones?
Yeah, there's something
it's
crazy.
Like, is he a drug dealer? What's going on here?
Yeah, that's crazy. All right,
and
David,
Cuomo,
we do have...
Everybody hates Cuomo because he's an idiot.
What was it? He was kind of responsible for a bunch of senior citizens dying, right?
We actually threw him out as a state, but now he's like trying to get back in, thinking, and he thought he was, oh, I'm going to have a landslide. I'm going to get in. And, you know, jihadist gets in instead of him. That's how bad they hate him.
Beat by a communist. That's rough. Yeah. Okay. All right, David, we do have a big and packed show for today. So would you go ahead and pray us into this episode, and then I'll show everybody what we're going to talk about.
Well, why not? All right. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Father, the stuff going on is just incredibly ramping up. We're like, where are you? So we are excited. We're waiting for that last Christian. And just like Methuselah, you waited an extra long time for him because you're merciful. So you're merciful in allowing people one last chance to receive you. So we ask that this show would expose the darkness so people would receive your light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let me show everybody the topics that we plan to cover today anyway. That's Israel under siege, standing firm in a world turned against her. America's economic awakening, there's tariffs, revenue, and, of course, national resilience. And nature's crescendo, there's floods, fires, and supernatural signs. I got a really good segment on that one. And global power plays, BRICS, cyber wars, and medical empires. All of that in today's show, which should be pretty cool. So I'm going to start off here, and we'll begin with Israel under siege. And it says that this week, excuse me, the truth became undeniable. Israel is fighting for her very existence, with the global propaganda media crying for the Hamas terrorist in Gaza. They conveniently ignore the rockets still being launched into Israel neighborhoods, the tunnels still being discovered beneath civilian homes, and the terrorists still holding innocent Jewish hostages, including women and children. In the face of these ongoing threats, Israel launched precision military operations targeting key Hamas structures. Now, rather than standing with our greatest ally in the Middle East, some in the United States continue to pressure Israel to show restraint even as her enemies escalate. The same voices that condemn Israel for defending herself are silent when terrorists launch rockets at Tel Aviv or when Israeli families are slaughtered in their homes. I agree with all that, but I want to get your thoughts on just that part of it, David.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. This is the devil. So, you know, when you're dealing with Islam, you're dealing with the devil. It's a false god, false narrative. It's actually the moon god, which is why they got that moon thing. Muhammad, being illiterate, he just went and he picked one of the gods out of their pagan things and says, okay, this is the creator god. Yeah. And he made it all up. Mm-hmm. But it's the devil. It's the principalities and powers that are over, that are trying to usurp the brothers of, Isaac, basically. Mm-hmm. Isaac and Jacob. They were brothers, so they're all cousins. So they feel they got the birthright, and that's what Satan is all about. He's like, oh, no, wait, I stole the birthright from Adam. I should have it. And then Jesus is like, no, I'm going to pay for those sins. I'm going to take it back. This is the crux of everything. Israel has a special promise by God. And for all you anti-Semite Christians that are out there, thinking that, oh, this, Israel's, this and that and the other, and it's not the real Israel. They really are. But we know that right now they're in a fallen state, which is exactly what the Bible says.
Yeah.
But they will repent, and you got to continue to pray for them. That doesn't mean we agree with a lot of the things that they're doing, most of the things that they're doing, because but it's still our brother. We still have to pray.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, because it's God's promise.
I was actually on Telegram last night, and there was a guy on there. We don't believe in Jesus and all that kind of stuff. I've watched this conversation going between many, many people for quite a while, and then I said, I made one post and one post only, which was, you guys don't believe in Jesus. I understand that, but please look at Isaiah 53, look at Isaiah 17:1, and look at Ezekiel 37 through 39, all Old Testament books. And then if you cannot reasonably see that this is Jesus, I'm sorry. I apologize to you. You follow whatever you want to. The only reply that I got from this is, I'm a Jew, and I'm going to stay a Jew, and I'm never going to change. And there wasn't any reason to sit there and argue with this guy. No reason to do that. I gave them references. It's up to them, and it's up to the Holy Spirit. That's it. I did all I can do. So, that's all I'm going to say on that. All right, continuing on here, you got the one voice that's not gone silent in all this is President Trump. In private but decisive meetings with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Trump reaffirmed what patriotic Americans and faithful Christians already know. Israel has the God-given right to exist, to defend herself, and to eliminate threats without apology. Their meeting reportedly included discussions on the immediate release of Israeli hostages still held, a potential full-scale evacuation of civilians from northern Gaza to allow for complete military operations, the formation of a post-Hamas government rooted in peace through strength, not appeasement through weakness. Now, while President Trump urged swift action to protect innocent lives, he made clear there can be no compromise with evil, and that, of course, does include Iran. Even so, Iran's fully backed by Russia has dramatically increased its regional aggression from Syria and Iraq to Lebanon and Yemen. Iranian-backed militias are opening new fronts. Houthi rebels even sank a cargo ship this week, killing innocent civilians in an unprovoked act of piracy and terror. Israel responded decisively, striking Iranian weapons convoys and key Houthi positions in Yemen, sending a clear message: Israel will not sit back and wait to be destroyed. And I'm only going to show one other one on this particular topic, and this is the prophetic insight here, that Scripture tells us that Jerusalem will become a cup of trembling to all nations. That time is now. As Ezekiel prophesied, a confederation from the north is forming, and the world stage is being set for the final battle between good and evil. But let every believer take heart. God's covenant and Israel is eternal, and those who bless Israel will be blessed. So let's stand firm. Let us pray for peace of Jerusalem, and let us never forget that Israel is not just fighting for herself. She's holding the line for the entire free world. You want to make any comment on that, David?
Yeah, and you got to understand, he put Abraham to sleep when he made that covenant. So there's nothing he could do to change it. Mm-hmm. And that's God's word. And when he sends his word forth, it doesn't come back void. So if you have this covenant, and then if you think it's up to us, like, you know, your salvation is up to you, it's not.
Right.
Okay, you just have to receive his payment for it. It's the same thing. Now, you could reject it if you want, but that's kind of retarded. Why would you reject someone paying off every sin you've ever committed?
Right.
That'd be something wrong with you. But it's this, the same type of promise for Israel. He said, this is my group. This is my specific people. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm going to have the Savior for all the nations, but this is my specific people to show forth my works. You're going to bring the law. You're going to do these. You know, salvation is of the Jews. And it matters not how bad they get, because it's God's promise that we're looking at here.
Right.
And exactly. It's the goodness of God that will lead people to repentance. So they will repent. That's in the Word. It's already written. He's already seen it. Mm-hmm. But they were blinded in part so that the Gentiles can receive Christ. Because if they had received Christ back then it'd be like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
And all the rest of the world would be like SOL.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah, 100% correct. All right, moving on to the next topic here. We've got the economic shaking, the tariffs, the traitors and return to national strength. So you got the tariffs here. President Trump ramped up his America First tariff on July 6th. He confirmed that new tariffs would kick in on August 1st. This including a 10% duty on goods with BRICS-aligned countries, drawing a clear line in the sand against globalist regimes. On July 9th, he issued two major notices, a 50% tariff on copper imports and the same 50% rate on most Brazilian goods, marking a major shift in trade policy and manufacturing strategy. And then on July 11th, he announced a 35% tariff on all Canadian imports, citing national economic and security concerns, and hinted at a 15 to 20% tariff on other nations if they don't come to the table. I'm going to go ahead and show the next part of this. Now, the results that benefit America, these actions aren't just rhetoric. They're already working. U.S. customs duties soared to a record $27 billion in June, creating a federal surplus. We'll read that again. Creating a federal surplus for the month and demonstrating that these levies are paying for national priorities instead of debt. So despite global market tremors and fear-mongering from the propaganda media, many Americans are feeling more confident in the administration's commitment to protecting domestic labor and manufacturing, with businesses adapting by seeking U.S.-based suppliers. America first yet again. What do you have to say about that, David?
Well, this is really, really important. So listen up, folks. You remember this guy named Thomas Jefferson?
Absolutely.
Okay. He actually got the nation completely out of debt, and there was no taxes at the time. Everything was tariffs. Okay. And he basically went around and put tariffs on all the different countries because they wanted to do business here and sell with us. And so, okay, well, there's this tariff. And there was no income tax. So what they wanted to do with this global ideology that they came up with, you know, back in the early 1900s, they created this income tax thing. Mm-hmm. They tried that in the Civil War. They said, okay, well, we need money to fight this war. So, but then it went away.
Right.
And then I think Grover did it. Was it Grover? Yeah. So he had one for a little while, but then the Supreme Court and said it's illegal. You cannot have an income mm-hmm. tax.
And then Roosevelt did it.
Yeah. And well, what he did, they Edward M. House, he basically said, hey, here's how we do it. We turn everybody into a corporation. And this way we tax them as a corporation. So now they make you think you're a corporation with a birth certificate and an ID number and all this other stuff. Mm. Oh, it's for Social Security. No, it isn't. It's for them to treat you as a company so they can charge you a tax, whereas real men don't pay tax. Now, the country was solvent until then.
Yeah.
If you go up to Rhode Island, there's this one little place, Millionaire's Row, and the houses are incredible. And it's like, and these were all the summer homes of all these wealthy people. And everyone made a lot of money because there was no income tax. It was when they started this income tax thing that it brought everybody out. The more you make, the more you have to give us. The tariffs work. They've always worked. Okay. And here's the deal. If you don't want to pay it, don't buy that thing. Yeah. And, you know, as opposed to income tax, like, oh, let me steal your money first and then we'll fight about it later.
Well, you know, see all these countries, Canada, I know, said, well, you know, we'll match the tariffs. Okay, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, there's maple syrup I can buy from other places but Canada. And then there's Brazil. Trump just started a tariff on them. I think it was 30% or something like that. He hit them with
50. What's up with Brazil?
And they said, well, we're going to just reciprocate. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, exactly what is it that we buy from Brazil? Coffee beans? You know, I think we can probably, you know, not all coffee comes from Brazil. I think we can probably deal with that. What else comes from Brazil? Think of anything?
Brazil nuts? I don't know.
I mean, in other words, Brazil is a loser in this proposition because Americans can live without whatever it is that they give us. It can't be much. But I mean, guarantee
they got Carnival.
They can't live without what we provide. So, you know, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see how that comes out.
Maybe a Brazilian butt lift? I don't know.
All right, now you got the global friction here, the national positioning, where markets in Europe and Australia reacted as expected, with some sectors seeing mild declines, yet fund inflows into the United States. Equity surged, especially in tech and AI, showing that investors are embracing the longer-term benefits of secure supply chains and a new era of stewardship and stability. For hardworking Americans with biblical patriots, this represents a return to principled trade, with the U.S. no longer shipping jobs overseas or trusting foreign cities. There's a divine symmetry here, as Israel is standing firm against her enemies, while America is drawing a line of strength and sovereignty with clear-eyed leadership and accountability. So, if you get to the prophetic insight, these tariffs are declarations of independence and guardians of national wealth. Revelation warns of systems built on obedience and submission, but America, at least for now, is turning away from globalism and instead is restoring authority to its citizens while aligning with a biblical vision of justice, self-determination, and dignity. Your comments on that, sir?
Yeah, I mean, that's where we're at. Which part? There's so many.
Right?
Like, my brain got fried with all of that.
It's incredible. I mean, now, I want people to understand that this is 1 week's news. One week. This last week, this is 1 week. Think about that. This is how fast things are going, the way that the Bible said things are going to really get fast.
It's like birth pains, you know, all of a sudden, here's another contraction. Oh, and then another one. Didn't we just have one? Yeah, here's another one.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the pain, and here's this. And yeah, so it's just like one after the other. I can't wait to get to all the flooding.
Well, we're going to talk about that. Yeah, we are going to talk about that in the second half of the show. And I've got something that people need to see. If you don't wait for anything else, wait for that one. Okay, because that one thing, it's going to blow your mind. And understand that this thing that they're trying to blame on President Trump, he's got nothing to do with President Trump. It's got something to do with the United States government. And I'm going to say probably the previous administration gave green light to what is going on or what went on just before the floods. So, you're going to hear it directly from the guy's mouth that was responsible for the thing, too.
I do have something to comment about. Like, I think we could wrap it all up with this. I don't know if you've seen Young-hoon Kim. He was declared the highest IQ in the world. And he's like, it's just logical that Jesus Christ is God, the creator. He says, it's just, you look at everything and it's just all logical. So he figured out logically. So now he worships the Lord and he does all that. But he says, now, according to logic and science and everything, he says, we're going to see Jesus return very shortly.
Yeah.
And this is the generation that will see his return.
Yeah.
And he did all this, you know, out of, not because he just wants to believe it. It's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He said he did this because of his study and basically his intelligence brought him to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And he even said, listen, AI is, you know, they're working on it now, but he said eventually when it gets to what it is, AI itself will admit that Jesus is God and he's about to return. So, here's the smartest guy ever. So if you want to, you know, argue with him about, oh, you got to be stupid to believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
You may want to examine that. But yeah, we are definitely in the last generation and we're just waiting for that last Christian. Even the smartest guy in the world says so.
I believe it's covered in the last segment that we'll do today, but I'm still going to mention it now. And that is earthquakes.
Yay.
And there was right at 900 earthquakes in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it Japan? It was a little,
there were tremors, but earthquakes nonetheless.
Mm-hmm, 900 of them. Well, okay. All right. So they dismissed that. Oh, you know, that's okay. All right. Mount Rainier. Heard of it? Out in the state of Washington, 400 to 500 earthquakes have occurred in the last few days in that area, and that people have been given a warning that it's time to evacuate because that earthquake is going to blow, or not earthquake, that volcano Mount Rainier, I believe is how you say it, it looks like it's going to blow. I can't say it's going to for sure, but there is a very high probability. I mean, if the National Weather Service and the, what is it called, the oceanographic something or other, the people that monitor this stuff, okay, they're saying that there is a really good possibility that this thing is going to blow, okay? So, you know, if you get evacuation orders because of that, you might want to move. If you look back a few years to Mount St. Helens, there's a very famous guy there. He lived right there on the mountain, basically. His name was Harry Truman.
Mm-hmm.
And
Harry.
They came in and they told Mr. Truman, you know, you're gonna you need to leave because this is gonna go off. You know, there by then it was showing every sign of erupting, and he famously sat there in his room and talking to the news media and said, I've lived here all my life. I've lived on this mountain all my life, and I am not going nowhere. So after Mount St. Helens blew, we never heard from Harry Truman ever again because they can't find him anywhere.
No, he's buried in his mile of ash.
So,
that's always good, too, because when Mount St. Helens went off, it created a mini Grand Canyon and created peat bogs and it created coal and everything else in a matter of, you know, weeks.
Right.
So there's your theory of millions of years out the window.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and I remember all the watching all those trees laying on their sides, and now mm-hmm. the, you know, the forests are back. And you know, it's not that that these things end everything when they go off. It's just that they change everything when they go off. So mm-hmm. Now if you get a super volcano like Yellowstone to go off, mm-hmm. then we're in trouble. You won't see us online too much anymore after that, because
goes off, we got bigger things to worry about.
Yeah. That basically changes just about everything, right?
Isn't it like a third of the size of the United States, that caldera? It's huge.
All right, David, I do want to let people know that, you know, if they would like to support the show,
we are listener supported, after all.
Yeah, I'm 100%, because we don't sell anything. We sell nada. You know, so if you would like to support the show, you can go to lastchristian.net. And there you could make a direct donation to us. We would really appreciate that. It believe it or not, it cost us quite a bit of money for both of us to be on here and do what we need to do. Matter of fact, David just, I'm not going to tell him that you spent $5,000 on a computer. I wouldn't do that. Anyway.
Okay, don't tell him.
Okay. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do that. Or if you just want to buy stuff that you like. Stuff to do with conservative values. You can go to the conservative store. You can get some great coffee. Me and David both drink this stuff. It's called Everyday Dose Coffee. We both drink it, and we really like it. And you can get that there. Get a special price on that. Get a bunch of free gifts and everything else. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to Christian Book. And Christian Book, there you can find Bibles, you can find devotionals, you can find just about everything Christian related there. So we highly recommend all of them. And each one of those are affiliates of ours. And yes, we get a tiny amount of the money, but that tiny amount, it adds up if enough people take the time to do it. And we really appreciate it, because you help us survive as a show. So just keep that in mind. David, any final comments here in the last 45 seconds?
Yeah, you can actually go to the site and just donate a couple bucks, too. Buy us a mm-hmm. coffee, you know, $1, right. $2, $5, $10, mm-hmm. whatever the Lord puts on your heart. When we all work together, it helps us to, you know, pay for the things we need to pay for here.
Right.
But in the meantime, you're probably better off accepting Jesus. And then when we get to the supper, we can all hang out together. I wonder what the appetizers are going to be like up there. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
You could find out too. All you got to do is receive Jesus, you know, and then you're the bride at the wedding. And then we come, we have dinner, and then he comes back to rule and reign on the earth, and you'll come back with him. Sounds like a much better plan than what we have. We'll talk about more in the second half. Bye.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmers market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases, Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients, Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, I'm J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton, all the way from New York City. Mm-hmm. All right, David, moving on here. We've got nature's crescendo, the floods, the fires, and the supernatural signs. I got something really special coming up on this one. Mm-hmm. So we got the Central Texas flash flood catastrophe. Now, this was on July the 4th through the 7th. Central Texas, including Kerr and Kendall counties, was struck by one of the worst flash flood disasters in decades. So far, there's over 120 people lost that have lost their lives, including many children at a Christian camp called Camp Mystic. And that was by the Guadalupe River. It surged by approximately 27 feet in just 45 minutes. Now, President Trump swiftly declared a federal disaster and toured the area with Texas Governor Greg Abbott. And the president also promised changes to FEMA's structure, favoring state-led, faith-connected responses over bloated bureaucracy. You got courageous local volunteers, church teams, and Rotary disaster aid teams working alongside federal, state, and local emergency professionals, wading through the murky water, clearing debris, providing shelter, and ministering Christ's love, their prayers and outreach bringing hope to the devastated families and the community at large. And I've got several things on this, Mexico even sent some help, from what I understand. Everybody's working as hard as they can. And if you back up a few years, they actually submitted a request to FEMA, and I believe it was under the Obama administration, saying mm-hmm. that we needed to get some kind of early warning system for floods. And it costs way too much for our little area of Texas, which isn't a big area, but it costs way too much for us to do it. So we were asking FEMA to, and FEMA turned them down. So I think that's one reason why President Trump said he was going to rework FEMA. But in this particular case, everybody seems to want to blame President Trump for this because supposedly he cut funding for weather people, and what they didn't take into account was the National Weather Service had actually added people and also gave them advance warning. The problem was, even though they did give them the advance warning, it was too late. You're talking mm-hmm. 27 feet of water in 45 minutes in the yep. middle of the night. Okay.
Yep.
Now, here's the real deal, and I'm playing this. This is courtesy of the Will Cain Show. He is on Fox Nation mm-hmm. As a host there, and he interviewed a man who is the CEO of a company called Rainmaker.
The question is whether or not Rainmaker cloud seeding on July 2nd contributed to storms that occurred on July 4th? Did it enhance? Did it intensify what we saw some 36 to 48 hours later?
Unequivocally, our cloud seeding operations on July 2nd did not impact the flooding that occurred later. And that said, my heart and prayers are still with all the people of Texas and all the families that have been affected. It was a tragedy. But in cloud seeding on the 2nd, one, we are regulated by the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, and we have what are called suspension criteria, where if there are National Weather Service flash flood warnings or severe storm warnings, then we cannot operate in those areas per the restrictions and regulations we have. Our meteorologists actually proactively suspended operations a day before the National Weather Service issued a flash flood warning. So we were ahead of the curve.
Yeah, ahead of the curve is what he says. So he says that they stopped seeding on July 3rd. If you think about that for a minute, because he said that they proactively suspended operations a day before the National Weather Service issued a flash flood warning. They issued the flash flood warning on July.
Obviously, that's where it came from.
Yeah, they issued the flash flood warning on July 4. This guy's suspended trying to make it rain on July the 3rd and flew directly over the Mystic Camp, directly over Kerrville. So 24 hours, oh, no, you know, it couldn't have been us. It was 24 hours later. No, it makes it very clear that you had something to do with it. Now, that's opinion. Well, that's my opinion. What is yours, David?
I mean, it's crystal clear. You know, it's not like, okay, I put the seeds in and boom, then it happens immediately. It does take 24 hours. It takes, because if you know anything about cloud seeding, basically they put particles in the air which are supposed to attract all the raindrops. You know, when you got a cold glass out and then the water gets to it, but it takes time.
Yes.
So it took time and all these particles, and slowly, it doesn't just start right away. It takes time for all these things to build up, and then all of a sudden, all that water that it collected says, okay, we're heavy enough, and it falls out. This is 100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to believe some clown young boy that goes on there with a mullet and tells you that, oh, yeah, oh, it had nothing to do with us. Yeah, you idiot. Who's paying you and why? I dare you people to go up and look, find out who's paying that guy's company and why was he put in there. Okay. He does not look like a guy who could actually have a viable company.
Yeah.
They're
he's
using him as a scapegoat.
Yeah, he's way young. I mean, he looked like he was in his 20s. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I think he's 24.
Okay.
But I know people that are 24 way more mature than him and don't wear mullets to business meetings.
Well,
but
you
anyway.
Know, I don't know if I'm for or against cloud seeding. I tend to lean against it because, you know, you're interfering with real weather, and you can't really project.
That's bad news. I'm going to control the planet.
Yeah.
It's not going to work out good for you.
You can't project that. You know, there's no way. You can't. It's not predictable. But I do know about the Guadalupe, the river there, and you know, if it rains an inch, you're talking feet of water instantly. You know, so for them to have gotten hit as bad as they did, that rain came fast. You know, you're talking 27 feet of water in 45 minutes. You know, that is insane.
And that camp is actually down in kind of a bed.
Right.
So if you look at it, the river comes up and then there's a plateau around it, which is really cool and nice to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other hills around that. So it actually would fill up that spot because on these big things, that's what it does.
Yeah.
And they built a camp right there. That probably wasn't a good spot.
Well, it's been there for decades. You know, a lot of people have gone there. They were showing some video. It's hard to hear it and listen to it, really. So that's the reason I didn't put it on here. But the children that were saved were on buses, and they were trying to bus them out of the area as fast as they could. And these kids were singing religious songs as they left.
Yeah, singing praise songs.
Yeah. So you know, it didn't affect their faith. But, you know, it has affected a lot of families here, and everybody down there needs our prayers for sure.
Yeah, especially children. Yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah, horrible.
So there's been floods all over the world, and they're like all major all of a sudden in this past like week or so. Because mm-hmm. We got in New Mexico. Remember that one?
Yeah, New Mexico was only a day or so lighter, actually.
Yeah, like the 8th. Yep.
Yeah, and there was four people at my last count, four people that had died in that. They did issue evacuation warnings in that area. I'm not sure how far in advance of the flood that they did, but I think they were able to counter it a little bit better than the people down there in Central Texas were.
Well, their awareness was heightened
very much. Yeah, after that. Yeah,
it just much. It just makes you think, because you know what's in these areas that they want, because New Mexico, Ruidoso, Ruidoso, something like that. Mm-hmm. It was burned just before that, which mm-hmm. which caused more problems from the rain because it just washed away all the burn.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. And then, well, okay, what do they want over there? Just like what happened in North Carolina, you know, they wanted mm-hmm. the lithium mine. Yeah. And the people said, no, we don't want you having building that giant thing here. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden it's destroyed.
Yeah.
It was the same thing in Texas. If you look it up, those people last year, they were going, it wasn't a lithium mine. They were doing a processing plant. They were going to do lithium processing. And the mm-hmm. people rose up and said, we don't want that here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now, okay, that's simple enough. We'll just destroy the place. And then, government's got to come in and take over. Yeah. I mean, this is time after time. We got Pakistan was another monsoon rain. 79 people died over there. Yeah, South Africa. Mm-hmm. 103 in the South Africa floods, Bolivia. So they're like all over the world. They're doing this. And it's mm-hmm. one, you know, they call them the 1 in 1,000 year rainstorms. But we got like, I think there was 9 of them in the last couple of weeks.
And do you know whether or not any of the other ones had anything to do with this Rainmaker company? And believe me, that is the name of it. It's called Rainmaker, if you want to look it up. So
yeah, I don't know if it's that particular company, but they have companies all over the world that do that. So it's my estimation would be the same powers that be are just paying different people around the world to do this so they can have that degree of separation.
And I don't understand the point of it, because it's not like the hill country down there. It's beautiful for those of you who've never been down into Central Texas. Beautiful. It's called the hill country because, yep. you know, you do have the they're rolling hills. It's not mountains, but you got rolling hills and they're just beautiful. They're spectacular. Mm. I don't understand why in the world you would see the cloud there anyway. They get plenty of rain. Probably more than any place else in Texas.
Yeah, what would be the justification for even doing it to begin with?
Yeah,
hills they cause rain automatically.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
Yeah, they but they're trying to manipulate everything because look at what they get. Mm-hmm. Oh no, look at all these floods. It's got to be climate change. We need to tax you mm-hmm. so we can combat climate change and then take more control.
Yeah,
and that's what evil governments do. They will create crises on purpose, mostly for the power because they love it, and then for the ability to take your money.
Yeah.
And here we are. So there's that.
Well, let's look at this one here. Following up on, again, with natural disaster, you got the heroic acts amid devastation. A camp director made a 3:30 a.m. call that saved multiple lives before she tragically perished in this thing. Entire families huddled together praying as the flood wave took over their home. There were signs of community refusing to spare, grounded in faith and compassion. U.S. rescue teams, Texas first responders, and even volunteers from Mexico formed a united front, demonstrating the very unity that Jesus calls us to live out in times of crisis. And there is the New Mexico flood you were talking about there, David, mm-hmm. July the 8th. And this is burn-scarred land, still recovering from wildfires, were also hit by the flash floods. It says 3 people here, including children, lost their lives. That's been upgraded to 4 so far. The tragedy reinforced the biblical lesson that the earth itself groans under sin and judgment, and the church is always called to be a refuge. And over in Europe, you got record-breaking heat waves swept southern and western Europe, claiming hundreds of lives. igniting wildfires in Spain and Italy and prompting air conditioners in French schools to shut down amid rising unrest. Europe is experiencing the sobering reality that climate extremes are intensifying, yet global bureaucracies, not prayer or repentance, are being called for as solutions. And you got these signs in the heavenly realm. As droughts tighten and waters rise on earth, celestial tremors continue overhead. Last week's report of Earth's shortest day, I want to get your comment on that one too, because that really happened. The Earth's shortest day on record isn't just a scientific curiosity, it's a spiritual alarm bell. The Bible tells us God set the sun and moon as signs. These unprecedented anomalies demand our attention. And I'm going to show the last one in this, and then we'll talk about all this stuff. But this is the prophetic insight, where God is speaking loudly through creation. Waters surge, fires burn, time itself shifts in subtle ways. These are not coincidences, but instead prophetic markers. Each event calling us to repentance, prayer, and preparation. As Romans reminds us, creation itself waits eager for the revealing of the sons of God. In the midst of chaos, America's remnant is rising, ready, generous, and unafraid to step into suffering and hope. We must count on leadership rooted in faith, God-fearing presidents, governors, and pastors, proving that even in disaster, God's people stand firm and serve well. David, your comments.
I'd like to go back to that, but that's pretty cool. The Austin police, I guess.
Okay.
The firefighters. Did you hear about that guy?
I knew there was one or two that came out for special.
No, check this out. So okay. Chief Baker, okay, the Austin Firefighters Association, and they have what they call the Elite Swift Water Rescue Units.
Okay.
That stated on July 2nd and again on July 4th that they were cleared and ready to assist Kerrville as the Guadalupe River was rising. But the chief, Baker, denied deployments. Okay. So he said, no, we're not going to send them. And that's basically they said why the reason he did that is because they sent people last time and they didn't get paid for it yet. So, in other words, all these lives were risked and lost. Because they were ready to go out. They were ready to go out even as they saw the water coming. They said, we're going to go. And this is the best team that they got, Swift Water Rescue Unit. So they would have went out and saved a bunch of lives. So this chief said, we're not going to send him. So he actually killed a lot of people. And he's going to be held big responsible.
He'll be held responsible by people here in Texas, too. I guarantee you that.
So check this out. The Austin firefighters, Austin, Texas, they voted 93% no confidence in Chief Baker. So that guy essentially just ruined the rest of his life.
Yeah, he's done. He's done. And he can move out of Texas now. He's done.
And because of that, imagine all the lawsuits that are going to be against him as well. Probably the Firefighters Association for not going anyway. If that was me and the chief said no, it's like, good. Listen, discipline me later. I'll see. Yeah. I'm going to save people.
I don't understand why they relied on them, though. And I'll tell you why. Austin is not that close to this. Austin is...
But they had that team. They were Swift Water Rescue. That was the case.
They're to the east, to the south and east of this location. I would say probably 150, 200 miles. So, he should have sent them. It was a team that was designed for that. So, he definitely should have sent them. Okay.
Let's go. So now the shortest day. We talk about that.
I forgot. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's just silly. Not for nothing. It was 0.00159 seconds shorter.
Okay.
Oh, it's the shortest day on record. Blah, 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 blah. Now, while I agree the Earth's about to be overwhelmed with chaos and mayhem, it's not because of 0.00159 seconds. The Bible says that the earth will be a third of the day A third of the sun shall not shine, and a third of the moon. Okay, when we're talking now, the day is 18 hours long instead of 24. Then we got something to worry about. Okay,
I hear you.
That's going to be an issue. So that while this is cool, it's still 0.00159 seconds.
Okay, like, I never did
longer to say it.
Yeah, I never did know the amount of time. I just remember what it was.
Okay. Yeah, but they don't tell you that. You know, it's like,
well, that
might even be the blink of an eye.
Right.
The twinkling of an eye. Who knows? It's the twinkling of an eye shorter.
Look at this one, David. Global power plays. As the BRICS nations met in Brazil, international delegates attended to celebrate the advancement of the new pandemic treaty. A much broader and more dangerous development emerged, and one that believers must not ignore, that being a rapidly forming system of centralized global control. This past week revealed the accelerated push for worldwide coordination in banking, medical policy, and artificial intelligence regulation. While it may sound harmless and efficient, behind the bureaucratic smiles is a coordinated agenda to consolidate global decision-making power into the hands of unelected elites. And if you move on here, it says, how is the noose tightening? The BRICS leaders call for a unified international policy on AI, including surveillance rights, digital behavior scoring, and limitations on speech algorithms, while pitching protective. These regulations would give foreign governments access to what you say, believe, and share online. Digital banking systems were tested by cyber attacks, revealing just how easy global currencies can be frozen, redirected, or erased. Now imagine the same control used not just by criminals, but by international regulators who deem your beliefs dangerous. The World Health Organization's Global Pandemic Framework finalized last steps in a legal structure that could override national policies in any declared health crisis. What they defined as misinformation could soon become grounds for censorship, financial lockdown, or even travel restrictions. This especially for churches, pastors, or medical freedom advocates. Trade, finance, and broader policies are now routinely negotiated through global bodies, often without public input. Elected officials are being bypassed in favor of emergency panels, climate task force, and health accords, where nations quietly surrender decision-making under the illusion of international cooperation. And we're going to just keep going here. The spiritual undercurrent is unmistakable as the infrastructure for the beast system is being built in real time. The framework is commerce is conditional, movement is permission-based, beliefs are regulated, sovereignty is obsolete. Obviously, it's not yet the mark, but it is preparing the world for it. Even so, as these powers grow louder, so does the voice of resistance. President Trump continues to reject global entanglements, pulling the U.S. out of coercive treaties and trade schemes. Under his leadership, American sovereignty is being restored, but the pressure is mounting from abroad. The upcoming months will determine whether the United States continues to stand as a sovereign Christian nation or bends to the will of tyrants. And I'm just going to finish this thing off, and then we can talk about all this. The prophetic insight here is the book of Daniel foretold a final kingdom of iron and clay, strong but unstable, mixed but not united. We are watching its formation now. But the remnant church is not called to fear. Instead, we are called to discern, stand, and proclaim the truth boldly. Christ will shatter this final kingdom with his return. Until then, we hold the line. So the final thing here is the word is shifting and fast. The world is shifting and fast. Prophecy is unfolding not someday, but this week. Yet we are instructed not to fear. We are to watch, pray, and proclaim. We are the last Christian generation, and the time to speak truth boldly is now. And with that, David, comments to the end of the show here.
Oh, it is now for sure. So where do I start with that one?
There's
I got
a lot
0.00159 seconds less to do it. So let's start with the banking system. Okay. And people talk about the mark of the beast. And it's just, we've talked about this before, but the number is not 666. The number is 666.
Right.
And you got to realize that that is a numerical system. And it's the sex tep. Or something. I just forgot. It left my brain. But basically, it's a base six program, which the Babylonians used, and it's much, much, much more powerful in its implications of mathematical stuff. So when you're talking the quantum computing world and keeping track of everybody, you're going to have to use a 666 base system. We already have it in place. We got 60 minutes in an hour, 60 seconds in a minute. There's 360 degrees in a complete circle. So we see that. And then there's 12 hours for the morning and 24. So everything is based on a divisible of six. And so the computing system, the quantum computer, is going to move to a 600 base system, which will allow it to track everybody. Because the ones we have now can't. People think about AI. That we have is going to take over. No, it's there's no possible way this current AI could actually take over the world. It doesn't have sentience. But when they create these 666 base system, what's going to happen is Satan will be able to inhabit it and like put it on like a cloak, if you would. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be able to use it to see everything around the world. So that's pretty interesting there. As far as being, you know, don't fear, of course we're not going to fear. That's like you know, like you're a kid in school and the teacher is standing behind the bully and he don't know it, and the bully's there, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and it's like, open your eyes, you know, the teacher is standing right behind the guy, and he's a big teacher. And no, it doesn't matter what this bully says. You're just looking at him and laughing and say, okay, great. Yeah, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to take your money and we're going to control the world and blah, 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 blah. Okie dokie. We'll see how that turns out for you. And that's where we are. If we have Jesus literally, open your eyes. You can see Jesus standing behind all of these world powers that are you know, the bullies, and trying to control everything. He's like, that's not going to happen to me. Okay. Because even if the bully takes me, I'm going with the teacher right now. Amen. So that's fabulous. Mm-hmm. And so you really need to understand that we have a written contract with the Creator. It says he will protect you. Okay. Right. Now, you have to agree to the contract. Number one is you have to admit that you got a problem.
Right.
Or else what problem is he going to fix? So you got to admit you're a sinner, and you just admit that to God. And he says, okay, now I can work with you because you've admitted it finally.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
All right. Then he says, hey, look, I paid for this. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to believe that.
Right.
Okay, or else you're not going to accept it.
Right.
So you need to believe in your heart that Jesus is God Almighty, mm-hmm. and that he paid for all of your sins. That's why he died on the cross. All right, you have to have faith in this contract that he wrote. And then you can't just like, okay, great. You have to confess it, because any kind of law requires a confession on your part. You say, I plead this blood of Jesus. I accept that. Okay. That's what I say. How do you plead in court? Well, you have to say something.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. And then you're agreeing to that contract. Now that contract says I could go live in his house.
Amen.
What a beautiful thing.
Amen.
It's better than hell. Trust me. So I would encourage you, receive the contract of Jesus today. And Lord willing, we're still here. We'll see you guys next time.
Looking for a simple way to support The Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.